why I had him read the gospel text. I'm taking the same one, only out of Mark, which is a little more filled in some of the places that Luke or Matthew don't fill in. So let us stand in reading of God's holy word from Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years, and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole story. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not be afraid, only believe." And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult of those who wept and wailed loudly. When he came in, he said to them, "Why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, but when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him, and entered where the child was laying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kumi," which is being translated, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. You know, when we look at this, we find that those that are sick will wonder what's going to happen to them. Is my sickness going to be better? Is it going to get worse? Will I be able to cope with it? What should I do? What doctor should I go to? And will the doctor be able to help me? And so many times you go to many doctors and they give you different prognoses, or they might give you different medications. And yet in this woman's case, she spent everything she had to go to try to be cured, and she found nothing. She was at her wit's end. She had lost everything. And now she had only heard about what Jesus had done. She heard Jesus had healed the sick, that he had raised the dead, that he had cast out demons, and all of these things. And she says, "You know, maybe Jesus can help me. I have tried everything. I've spent all that I have. And we find then she goes and she touches the hem of Jesus' clothes or his garment. And I can see her fighting her way through the crowd and reaching out and barely touching that garment. And she feels the surge of power coming through her, healing her body. Jesus feels the surge of power leaving him to heal her. And he stops and he says, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, if you were in that group, and let's say you had someone important that you were by, and they said, and he stops and says, "Who touched me?" He would do the same thing the disciples did. "Lord, look at all the hundreds of people around you, and you're saying, 'Who touched me? Who touched my clothes?' What do you expect? You got hundreds of people thronging you. How can you point out one person?" Yet Jesus felt that power leaving him to heal her. And it's the same way when he was crucified, when he was in the high priest's house and Peter denied him three times. He looked out from the porch and he looked at Peter, and Peter seen Jesus looking at him and his eyes penetrating him, saying, "You know I told you you would deny me three times before the cock crows." Peter went out and wept bitterly and sought forgiveness and repentance. And I can think of Peter crying and mourning maybe many days, even until Christ rose again and he was restored. But this woman, Jesus turns around and he's searching the crowd, and he knows where the woman is. She feels his eyes penetrating her, and she comes to him and falls at his feet and says, "Lord, I did it. I touched your clothes because I knew you could heal me. My faith said I have to touch your clothes and I would be healed, because I've gone to all these doctors. They've done nothing." Jesus says, "Be of good cheer," or "Be of peace. Your faith has made you whole." You see that woman's faith in what would happen if she had touched Christ would be one of healing. And so she had given herself totally over to Christ because she had nowhere else to turn. And many times we find ourselves in the same situation. We may have something going wrong, or we may have something happening to us at home or at the job or wherever we are, and we try and solve all of these problems ourselves, and we find that when we come to ourselves and we come, "Lord God, I don't know what to do. Help me. Give me the wisdom and the discernment that I need to solve this problem, or to help me out in this case." And we find Jesus saying, "It's about time you came to me. You know, you've tried it yourself. You've tried to do this yourself. Remember, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the one who wants to give you wisdom. I am the one that wants to give you knowledge. I am the one that wants to give you spiritual knowledge and wisdom and spiritual being, so that your soul can live forever, that your soul can live beyond even this present age." And you know, as I look into my own case, many times, as many of you know, my wife has Alzheimer's, and we didn't expect her to live very long this week. And she had been going about 2 to 3 days without eating, without drinking, without waking up. It's hard to see a loved one like that. Yet, yesterday, about 4 o'clock, she opened her eyes and she kind of looked around and she says, "Can I get up?" "Yes, you can sure get up." "Can I have something to drink?" "Yes, you can have something to drink." "I would like something to eat." "Okay, they'll get you something to eat." And then she said, "You know, She says, I have heard songs and I have a CD playing in her room 24 hours a day. And it's all Christian music on there. And she says, when I put her in the wheelchair and I was wheeling her down the hall, and she thinks we're out driving down the road. So, and that's fine. And she says, will you do something? And I says, what? She says, sing for me. And I'm not going to sing for you guys. And I says, I can't sing. Yes, I like your singing. And you know, I sang Jesus Loves Me. And I've probably sang that a couple thousand times. If you remember the old rocking chair that Granny had on Jed Clampett's Model T, we used to have a rocking chair like that, and I rocked the kids and the grandkids in that many times. When they didn't know what to do, they would come over to Grandma and Grandpa's, and they would say, I can't get this child to be quiet. I'd lay him on my chest and I'd sing Jesus Loves Me. And they'd always go to sleep. I don't know if it's because of my music or if it was they thought I'd shut up, you know. One of the two. But you see, what I'm saying is God has a way. God has taught me a lot, even through her sickness. He's taught me how to not only deal with people, but how to have patience and how to look to God instead of to myself. How we come and we say, Lord Jesus, help me because I can't help myself. Help me that I may be able to have that wisdom and knowledge and that spiritual wisdom that only you can give. That we cannot be afraid, but we only believe. And because we believe, we know that your Holy Spirit will teach us and help us. And when we hear the Holy Spirit teach us or tell us something, be willing to obey. Be willing to go out. As you've seen in that video, they sang a little louder so they couldn't hear the people crying help. They were professing Christians, but will they have to answer before God that they did not try and stop that train from taking those people in and through the Holocaust? I was in Dachau when I was in service. I went through the prison of Dachau, and it's not a pretty sight. Today they have made it into more of a museum, and they forget a lot of the things that happened. But I will tell you that they're still there. The people in this country and throughout the world, we see them being killed. We see them destroying their own lives. We see them taking and committing suicide and many different things. Yet, can we stand up and do like that woman did, say, Lord, I give you my whole complete self. Use me to save others so that they too will be in your kingdom. Because if they refuse to follow you, we know that they will be in damnation. But we know also Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, we will stand before him and we will have to answer for the way we lived after we professed to be Christians and having Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. Is there things in your life, in my life, that we have to bring to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me to be the servant and to be the child you want me to be, living for you. And this woman, I'm sure she went out and she not only professed Christianity, but she professed how God had saved her and healed her. We see Jairus, when he found out that his daughter had died, Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe, believe. And we can repeat that many times. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the things coming in on the world around us, but believe that God will keep us in his care, that God will watch over us, and that he will protect us and keep us, not only to help those that are in need, but to vote for the right person that we feel will help our country and bring it back to the Lord. You know, in Chronicles, it tells us, God says, if my people who are called by my name will call upon me and repent, I will heal their land and I will heal them. And this is what we have to do, isn't it? We have to turn our hearts and lives back to Jesus Christ. We have to take and realize that Jesus is in charge. As it tells us in Isaiah, awake, awake, you that sleep, and be aware of what's going on around you. Be not afraid, but believe and trust in me. In Colossians, we find that Paul says, we are praying without ceasing for you. We want you to have that spiritual wisdom. We want you to know God's will. We want you to have the wisdom of God, and that we will be able to be called, walk worthy of his calling, that we are worthy of all that he has for us, that we have the patience and understanding that God wants for us, and that as we live for him day by day, it will be to serve him and him alone, that we will give thanks to God for giving us the inheritance of eternal life. And that as we have the inheritance of eternal life, we know our citizenship is in heaven. And because our citizenship is in heaven, we should want to have everybody there with us. Are we condemning those that we should be praying for? Are we condemning those that we could stand up to and or beside and say, you know, if you would have Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you would find that you have peace within your heart and within your soul. You have the peace that only God can give you and nobody else. Not the peace of the world, but the peace of God, because you are walking with him day by day. And as we see this, we find that we can not only be awake, but we would be willing to serve the Lord Jesus at all times. That we are not afraid of the things going on, because our heart and life is in Christ. Christ gave his blood for us. Christ was willing to die on the cross for us. He stretched out his hands on the cross and he let his blood run down that cross and cover us and cover our sin so that we could have eternal life. Are we willing then to stand up for him, or as the video said, are we going to sing louder so we don't hear the voice of those crying for help? Yes, we need help, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit to keep us on the road to righteousness. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom and knowledge. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to convict us when to speak to others and to show our love to not only our family, but to those around us, that in patience and in love and wisdom, we will show people that Christ is living in our heart and our life, and they will glorify God, which is in heaven also. You know, it reminds me one time when I was talking with a lady, and she said she didn't go to church because she felt cooped up. And I asked her if the Spirit of God was convicting her. No, she says, I just feel more freedom when I'm not in church. She says, I'm a good person. But I told her she would have to someday answer to God in God's way, in God's judgment. And would she be able to answer? And she wouldn't answer me. She knew within herself that it's Christ and Christ alone that died on Calvary's cross. And what was so strange, her husband was an alcoholic, and I visited them a few times, and what was so strange was, even though I talked about salvation and what they had to do, they wouldn't accept Christ. Yet they would always tell me, I want you to come back and visit again. And so I had the opportunity at three or four different times to visit with them and always to proclaim Christ and to proclaim his salvation. Yet they completely refused, at least in front of me, to accept and acknowledge Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They would always find all kinds of excuses. And yet, you wonder deep down if they weren't being convicted very, very heavily. And you don't know, they left the Thief River area, and I haven't heard from them for a number of years now, but it makes you wonder how the Spirit of God could touch those people. You know, God can touch these people through our lives in many different ways. One of them, of course, we show love and patience, kindness one to another, first in the fellowship of Jesus. Then we are willing to stand out and step out if the Holy Spirit tells us to do that, whether it's at work, at play, or even within our own families, that we're willing to stand up and say, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. Let us have devotions and follow him because he is the one that saves us. As I look at my own life, I find God has taught me an awful lot in sickness, in the sickness of my wife, and I pray her the best care for her as well as myself, that he would keep me not in the place where I, to keep me humble, not letting me get proud, because God has the one he wants, a humble and contrite heart. And I pray that my heart would always be that way, that each of our hearts in the family and in the church would be that way, that we could serve God. And like Jesus picked up that little girl and said, she lives. And yet those people, they thought they were going to take and make fun of Jesus, and yet Jesus showed the glory of God through raising that little girl and giving her back to her parents. The day is coming when we will be in heaven at a banquet feast that has been prepared by Christ. And at that banquet feast, we will find then that Jesus is Lord of Lords, and he is the one that will take care of us forever. So let us have that knowledge that we need, asking God to give us spiritual wisdom, spiritual knowledge, and let us be awake to what God wants us to do. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us and watch over us. Keep us, O God, in your care, and help us to serve you, and help us, O Lord, to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 461.